Blog Talk Radio.
You are muted. You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing star 6.
Otherwise, we will pay the consequences. You know? So people are living lies even when they know. I have a lot of grace.
Okay. Can I maybe ask a question? Yeah, thank you, Ms. Leah, for joining us. I guess my question is, there is so much pain I have had here, but no matter how bad, I know, Nathan, when we first arrived in America, we went to an all-Baptist church in Delaware. The way they looked at us, we didn't even finish the sermon. we knew we didn't belong there. But here is Priya, who says, they stayed in this church for 18 years. I am sure if it, it was just hectic, you could have left like at the middle of the service like we did. So tell us some good things about, yeah. Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Wait. You have been added to the waiting room. You cannot talk or listen until the host admits you to the meeting. You are muted. You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing star 6.
The book Grown Up, those in the U.S. would like a copy, I can ship to you. And I will fully order a copy of Liz. Thank you for everything you do to highlight some of these things. Like you said, it's the closer you go to leadership that you see things, how things are done differently. Right? So it does help enlighten some of us out there.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, Yareka. Ms. Lee, as we wind up our discussion here, any thoughts about generally what is happening. I know there's a lot of things we haven't talked about. And once again, sorry about that little technicality I was having and trying to adjust.
I was told I was a guinea pig.
I didn't say nothing.
You know, we are used to being on radio where you just wake up, brush your teeth, and you turn everything on and everything else. I'm saying to myself, even if I'm having issues behind the scenes, I'm fidgeting. People are not looking at me, but I was trying to avoid people seeing the frustration in my face. It's not a good thing.
Nathan, can I say a quick comment?
That's Uncle Daniel. Okay, quickly, go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, a great discussion, and just a quick comment. It's up to the leaders to see how to bring people together. The same thing that the white people are going through about the church. The church has done a lot of good things. The same thing it's going through the young people, especially, you know, some churches. I visit churches, and I want to hear what they're talking about. Some of us sitting here, we benefited from the church, from the missionaries and stuff like that. But what's going on with the problem is where the leadership have taught the young people that have helped Africa a lot. You know, if you go to a church sometimes in this country, you see how much the budget they put toward Africa. But that money, and when you give, you think something good is going to come out of. But it's still, there's just like we're talking right now, you know. It's up to you leaders to try to think, to try to keep the church going and to see the good things that have come out of church, you know. So, but great conversation, and I'll try to get Leah's book and read. But just remember the same thing that we are going through, I mean, as black people, the same thing is the white generation that have contributed a lot to missionaries in church. Sometimes the budget is so big helping Africa. Thank you, Mr. Dia. Because of short of time, I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
There's something that you address in the book. This has been burning on my heart. Let me just bring this up. Something that, you see, in marketing, customer service, and all these things, the people that have written books over the years, the phrase, the customer is always right. I told somebody I don't believe in that. That is just a way to let the customer or the person on the other end of the desk or the counter have the leeway to run all over that other guy who's probably wearing a uniform with a name tag on it. I told somebody, I said, human beings should look at themselves or each other as equal partners in whatever you are doing. You go into a business premises, respect that person you find standing there, and don't, this thing, the point I'm trying to say, Ms. Ria, is this, you know, we've come up with these phrases over the years that people have believed and said, the customer is always right. I tell people there's no such thing. You are just empowering another human being to run all over another human being. That's what I tell people about that customer is always right thing. Let's finish your final words, and how do we get a copy of your second book?
I think you can get it from Amazon, but it takes a while, I think, to get it to America. So you can still get it from Amazon. And it gets shipped. I know a few people who bought it, but I'll try and see if one of the team can open it up so that it becomes like based in America.
In the US, yeah.
In the US. And I'm also in the process of trying to do an audio one, because I think this one is on audio. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to leave by saying, you know, I think that I was on a talk show in the morning, and I was saying, let's not stick in the graveyard. I don't speak in my books over things because I want us to hate the church. I want it to become better.
Exactly.
And just because one pastor or one leader has hurt you doesn't attribute that to God. You've got a different relationship. And I think we have to remember that your relationship is first and foremost with God, and it's not with the leadership. And it's us taking a hold of ourselves as leaders. We are all leaders. And you know, sometimes we abdicate that role, giving it to the guy in the pulpit, expecting them to make decisions for your life. You know, I look at my own sisters back home, not just Zambia, but just Africa as a whole. Sometimes we respect the man of God so much more than the people that you live with in the house. I mean, what's
there
that all
go.
About? That's another, you know.
That's chat. Another topic for another
Another
day.
Topic, yeah. So God's always true. You know, we're all leaders, and this is not to condemn, but this is to highlight that we can do better.
That's right.
As people and as pastors.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our Black History Month celebration series. And we had an awesome, phenomenal lady, Miss Leah Chilengwa. She's a pastor, life coach, author, businesswoman, wife, mother, and the list goes on. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to having you. And have a blessed weekend.
How are you guys in Texas? You're warm now?
Well, Texas is crazy. You know, we went from a snowstorm to a thunderstorm, rain.
Wow.
Yeah, that's Texas. Texas is that Christian that the book of James describes.
Thank you for having me. Thank
Excellent.
You.
Excellent. Have a great weekend.
Okay, bye, bye.
Good morning, and let me see, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, wonderful. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Dr. Pedro. My name is Forrest Kasempa here, Nathan.
Forrest Kasempa.
And I see our people in the way God is there, so they'll be able to hear us.
So we hope you are going to transition with us.
Today, I've written a young man, Nathan, who is encouraging young men and women. Make your own employment. So we're going to have a very interesting discussion on the bottom of the hour.
Although I don't see him here, he says that it's on.
So, Chico, keep your mic on.
Can you please say hello? He tells me he can't see anyone. Please say hello, Chico.
I can't, okay, there you are. Let me allow you again.
This is where we are going to be tough with networks.
Or maybe this is where we're going to be forced to do something. So Chico is showing he's joining me. Okay, there you are.
Hello, Chico.
Good morning. Good evening there in Zambia.
Okay, I cannot see you on video,
but once you get your audio on and you can hear me, let me know.
So those who are online,
Dr. Patrick, the traditional radio, Dr. Musanje, welcome.
61 numbers.
Another difference is that some numbers are coming.
My neighbor, Miss Susan Tambo,
she actually posted this
Post Nathan in our Calgary. That's where I got it. And then I called Chico.
Welcome.
Dumbo.
Anakadi.
Bayama.
And
Titus.
Okay, so,
okay,
let's,
so
just,
let's just see. We open up some numbers and say hello to Bayama.
In the radio.
Dr.
Apache,
can you hear?
Hello,
Dr. Apache.
Okay.
Are you able to hear Dr.
Patterson? No, I'm not. Dr. Monsange, let's try Dr. Monsange.
Dr. Monsange, good morning.
Yeah, I can hear you, but there's an echo in the
background. Maybe they are hearing you. We'll never know.
Yeah.
So Chico,
we'll
be
live
at the bottom of the hour, but you can unmute
if you like
say hello.
That's where you're ready to go.
As we wait for him,
some stories making news.
Hello, I.
Whose voice
was that?
That's mine, Chico.
Chico,
in Lusaka. How is Lusaka, young man?
Lusaka is fine. How's Canada?
Canada is cold.
You don't even want to be here. I can tell you that right now.
Okay, but you're not wearing any warm clothes.
can you see?
Yes, surprising.
Okay.
So our discussion will start at the bottom of the hour.
This time we just around. People are calling in.
You want to say hello.
And mute Bella and say hello.
Those on radio, send me a message on WhatsApp. That way we know at least you are able to hear what we are saying.
This week,
Number Block Radio.
First, we don't want the. wake up.
This week, Nathan, we delivered as a radio
230 heads
of cabbage.
To orphanages.
I don't know if you saw that story.
Yes, I did.
What happened in that story, Nathan, was that a young man.
They are selling cabbages online.
And he appeals for support.
He says, I need support.
So we are like, how can we help this person? So we suggest to him,
we are going to buy so many of them. Where am I going to take them?
He says, I don't know.
So we figure out something.
Then I suggest, why don't you take to orphanages?
What we found there,
the big story, what we found there, Titus, for those who are listening,
is
a forgotten world.
The old people's home in Zambia.
They were so grateful to receive those heads of cabbage.
But at the end of the day, it is, German, please.
I think we can do a little bit more.
That's what I thought. So as a radio, we delivered to two orphanages.
230 heads of cabbage.
So we hope we can do more.
Another good story, Nathan. From, should I say Titus?
Maybe Titus wants to say something about this.
The first flight, Nathan. I don't know if you saw this story.
The first flight from Nigeria to Jamaica.
Oh, really? Yeah.
It's the first direct flight.
The story is that, in my view, how we remember the diaspora.
A beginning, a connect.
Either when you go to Colombia,
you hear people talking about how much they want to visit Africa. I don't know if you know where Fiji is, Fiji Island.
Fiji is in Australia, but there are black people there.
There are black people, especially Papua New Guinea, half of Papua New Guinea is ruled by Malaysia.
They are marginalized, for some reason black people, I don't know, anyway, they are marginalized. If they hear someone come from Africa, a celebration for the people in Fiji, the people in Papua New Guinea,
it's like they've seen someone come home.
So what I'm trying to say is there is just something coming together about the African diaspora to connect us, to bring us together.
I hope we can all feel it, guys.
I hope we can feel it.
Take it up, guys.
Yeah, I think we have a way to control certain things. How can I put it? You know, as a diaspora, I was talking to a friend of mine who's in South Africa. And as we were talking, they're out of trauma. They go through Livingstone. And they started saying, hey, you know what? Actually, I can hire a helicopter and go through the Victoria Falls for an hour or 2 hours. When you start thinking about that, what is the cost of that helicopter? Maybe we can not do the Victoria Falls. That helicopter can go to, above Colombo Falls and all these other places in a short time. We hire a helicopter, we put people that want to go and just show and push up for tourism. With this corona that we have, the helicopter doesn't have to land, by the way. You can land 6 feet, take off, but you have a way to see certain things. And then we...
Your line is freezing. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning, Roger. You always come up with interesting topics.
That's the reason for radio.
You know, the thing you just mentioned about Papua New Guinea, it's happening all over the world. Brazil,
yes.
South America, everywhere where black people are. And what, especially those who went there by slavery, and what other people, and I'm not saying this, when we make mistakes, what we have subjected people, when we separate these people, some of the people, the joy they're having to see, some, you know, like if they watch a YouTube to see Africa or you to go and visit them, just that joy of unite, you know. Other people have to be very, very sensitive to, there's a lot of things that have happened, but we have to be very sensitive, especially to the blacks in Brazil, the blacks in South America, because they have been subject to be, they always put them down. They are second class citizens, you know? And I think right now they're feeling like, oh, we belong somewhere. And other people have to be sensitive to that.
I like that.
I was telling my brother about the black Fiji.
How much I wish I was rich and pay air tickets for a lot of people to come and go home, which is Africa.
Our people, especially in the Pacific, they are marginalized big time.
They are really marginalized.
So,
something Africa can come together and say Africa continental t-shirt area, to
begin supporting some of our brothers who are in this foreign lands to visit home.
Zambia Block Talk Radio. Now we are going live.
We want to improve things, see where we go.
So we expect all of you to come up nice and shining early in the morning,
don't be shy from the camera, and join the discussion.
So I hope you're going to find the time and discussion here.
So, how do we get on the camera, Roger? Yes. I did get the information you sent me, but I tried to call Zoom, but it just gave me.
If I can come in, here's what I did with the link you gave me. I copied that link and I emailed it to my email. Then I went to my laptop. I used hotspot to get, if you have wireless, whatever internet you have, you can just go straight.
Uh-huh.
But I had to use my hotspot from my phone so that my work laptop is. And then I just opened that way. I just opened that link from my laptop. I didn't have to use any of these ID, meeting ID, nothing. Just that, and it says the host will connect you,
hold on, and then
when I was connected, it just came on.
Yeah.
So I think one of the tricks, send the link to your email, and then that's the way I could open from my laptop.
And
that link, remember, just like Zambia Block Talk Radio, the number was the same.
We
are not going to change that link.
Will be the same.
Every Saturday when you go into the radio, you use that link
over
and over again.
So.
Feel free every Saturday to join us.
Also, just add up this business of trying. We all talked about what you did in Dola with the disadvantaged adults, the elders.
Yes.
The only way we can look at somebody, I would rather put money into a crop of whatever it is, corn, vegetable. And when it's done, in 2 months, 3 months, I plan on what can be done in terms of helping. I'm not a fan for going to just help somebody. It's good. But I think we need to do on a bigger scale. We can still empower somebody who has a field, whatever, and give us an acre, do this, here's the money. So we maximize, We maximize on production, and then we can also maximize on.
I'm sure Chico is going to agree with that. Definitely, it's a good idea.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we might as well go on our discussion.
Once again, my name is Roger Nine Old Okoto.
But I like to look at my shoes in the same way, warm up my spirit, Chico.
Chico, welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio.
Thank you very much.
So here we are going to look at the subject of employment. You wrote a very nice summary of businesses in Zambia,
which Mr. Mutambo shared
in our group. And I started looking for a person about that. Then I found you.
Generally, how is Lusaka?
Lusaka is fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting a little bit rainy.
Rainy all the time. It's been raining all the time.
Yes, but it's raining a little bit more than usual.
So
it's a bit chilly here, but generally the weather is fine.
And I hear people are beginning to complain. There's too much water. The crop might go bad.
No, about that, I don't really know.
Are you a farmer? You are not even a farmer.
No, I'm not a farmer. Unfortunately, no, I'm not a farmer.
Okay, I am a farmer. I'm with a farm in Tongwe.
I'm here in Canada and I'm a farm in Tongwe.
What do you think?
Yeah.
It's all right. Why are you going there?
Okay.
What are you doing there?
I'm growing. I'm growing corn.
I'm growing maize.
Our discussion is on youth and employment. You talk about a lot of business, yourself, you are not employed.
I don't know what came to you yesterday, how that you are not employed.
But you are employed.
Something like that.
Yes, I did say it all starts with unemployment. All starts with the mindset. Once you put yourself in a bracket that I'm unemployed, you kind of accept some of the things that come with it. Pay, no money. You're looking at finding a job as your only means to get something sustainable in terms of income. So when you put yourself in that bracket that I'm unemployed, it also kind of affects you because I talk to a lot of people on my page, which I run, Dream Job CV Designers, and most of them have, victim mindset.
Did you, by the way, share our discussion on the page?
No, not yet, but if we're recording this one, I can post this thing.
Okay, go ahead.
So, yeah. So most people feel afflicted and they feel powerless, that there's really nothing they can do. But as we discussed yesterday, I look at unemployment as just a different path that you're taking. You can still meet your needs through other ways other than just being employed by someone. Because if you look at it, employment is just providing a service to an employer. So you could look for other ways to service people.
Yeah, I like that. Go ahead.
Yes, so I'm saying employment is providing a service to an employer. That's your skill set. You go to school to learn a skill. So you provide it to an employer that's willing to employ you for that skill. But if you can't find that employer willing to buy your skill, you have to find another skill that you can give to someone who needs it. And there's a lot. It's abundant. There's really nothing you cannot do. So once you forget about the fact that you're unemployed, you just feel like it's just a different path you're taking. Everything changes.
I like the employment service you give to someone. And if you're not employed,
You are not just giving a service to this employer. There are other areas where you can exactly. I give a small background. I work with a village, Chico.
But I'm sending kids who go to school. One of the things I've thought about is if these kids go to school, it's not going to make sense spending a lot of money for them to go to school while they are hungry. Right?
But at the same time, I can't keep sending money all the time.
Go and buy bread, they should have. Can't do that.
So I've come up with an idea whether I want to do a small bakery. Because bread is becoming very expensive. So what I'm thinking is, why don't I make a small oven fired by wood?
Then on the monthly basis, all I can do is buy a bag of flour. And they'll be baking.
Yeah.
So
I went online, Chico.
Found
a very nice design.
I could have shown it to you live.
Probably I'll find it.
Yeah.
And I challenge the people in the group to raise the business group. I say, I'm looking for the youth who can create this oven.
I'll buy the supplies after you do this.
I'll pay 10,000.
Quatch.
After it is done.
No one.
Okay. Maybe one or two.
I've just liked the picture or something.
But no one is stepping up, Chico.
To say we can do this.
We can make money.
Mm-hmm. So that's how I came up with this question.
I say, what is really unemployment?
What is unemployment?
What does it mean?
If you are providing, here you are, someone.
Make something for me. They run away.
Maybe we don't have unemployment in Zambia.
Maybe we don't.
Maybe it was the level of skill set. If I may say, the level of skills that
people have, because usually
most people, they also don't believe they can do something that magnitude.
So when
he looks at his skill set, he thinks about himself, whatever image he has of himself, no one steps up. But if somebody else came that I'm hiring you to help me build something, then maybe someone will step up, but not them leading the whole project. I don't think they can do that for themselves.
And that leads me to the next question.
When, on the question of skill.
Which tells me there is something wrong with our education system.
Which teaches us one plus one equals two,
and it ends there.
And it does not help us at the end of the day if a challenge goes to me,
make something like this, I step up.
So if you agree with me, there's something wrong with the skill.
If there is something wrong with the skill,
what do we do?
Yes. So one of the problems that I've found usually when coaching people, preparing them for a job, is that you find somebody has been trained to be an accountant, an engineer, but there is a mentality of thinking that you go to school so that you get employed, not to be a skilled person, but so that you get a certificate so that you can be employed. The first question I ask somebody, they say they are not getting a job, they are trying, they are applying, then why, how come I cannot find a job? The first question I ask them is, if I'm an employer right now and I'm willing to pay you anything that you want, tell me how you fit in as an accountant or as an engineer. What are you going to do for me? That's where the story even ends, because very few will start saying, no, I'll count your books, but how is that going to save me money? I want you to picture how you fit in the whole map of how I'm making my money. How do you help me meet my goals? So that's one thing I think people need training on, is how, what's your input in the business? That they don't, most people don't think about that.
Roger, right there.
That's a very... I'm telling you, Chico.
This is
I'm sure you can see my name there. I'm in the U.S. in Texas. It's far warmer than where that crazy.
Whatever.
So, Chico, here's the thing. You go to school. I was writing when you were talking.
Okay.
And these are some of the skills that we are taught, all right? When people are talking, learn to have a pad beside you and you are writing.
Yes.
Those are some of the skills.
Yeah.
So you go to school to be skilled. From what you are saying, number one, I'm learning and beginning to understand that I need to be able to find, I hope I can put this into words, what's in my head. So that skill that I have obtained, I need to find a market where it will be useful. Am I saying the right thing?
Yes. 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 You are. You are.
Well,
you find
well,
how
that's
you fit into the whole thing.
You are.
But the problem
we are finding out for people here,
a lot of our people,
they have the education,
but they don't
have the skill.
This is where
chicken
change.
How are you
going
to help me?
They don't have the skill.
They don't realize that they have the skill, they just don't know how to, like Chico is saying, how are they going to fit in his organization? They don't know how to manipulate or be flexible
to apply that skill
in the available opportunity. Chico, let me give you an example. Roger and I talk a lot about this. All the guys, the team, the Zambia Block Talk Radio, we've been doing this for 12 years. And I made this statement at one time. I said, the research skills that university or college helped me acquire in looking for information for me to put my research paper or term paper together, okay, to present to my professor as a requirement at the end of the semester for me to obtain a grade at the end of that class, I have translated that skill of research in the way I prepare my radio talk show. How does that sound?
That sounds very, very good. It sounds very good.
I mean, I'm beginning to reason with you to say, this is basically what... So here is at times this used to amaze me to say, let's take for example, okay, I know you watch CNN. I'm looking at this guy, Chris Cuomo. You know Chris Cuomo, right? On CNN. Yeah, Chris Cuomo is on CNN. He's a presenter of a show. Roger, his academic credentials are not journalism. He's a lawyer. So I say to myself, lawyers prepare cases. They have to do a lot of digging, investigating, and all that. So all what Chris Cuomo does, he brings that skill of digging for information and he applies it in what the services is providing to CNN. Chico, you and I need to partner.
Roger, can I add something?
No.
Bella. This is Bella.
What's wrong with you? Your point, you're out of control.
Yeah, I'm cutting out the discussion. Go ahead, Ben.
I was saying that what our brother is saying is definitely very true. I've seen it in my work. I know the Zambia education system, we train very bright students. But the system is very regimented, you know, it's very strict. It doesn't allow that creativity element in the teaching.
There you go.
So like what you're saying, Maroja, you're trained, but you're not trained how to apply that knowledge to solve real world problems. And that's the biggest gap that I face even myself when I'm trying to hire a new team. I'm interviewing this person, they're very bright, you know, but when you give them a real world problem to solve, they struggle with applying that knowledge that they have acquired. But then rightfully, you know, the school is very theoretical. We are losing that practical aspect of it. So when people come out, they think, I just have to go get a job. They don't think about how can I apply this skill myself to maybe even start my own business and employ others.
I like that, Bill.
I like that. Go ahead, Chico. Comment on Abela or that point before I go.
This
guy is there. That be my flow of my question.
What's wrong with
you guys, Chico? So
we are excited to have Chico.
So if I can add on to what they're saying is, I feel the knowledge is there. If you start talking about what they learned, they are able to regurgitate that information, but the application of that information is something they don't really think of. There is that thinking of ownership, sort of an entitlement that somebody owes you a job or the government should provide because you are educated, somebody should give you a job. But I try to emphasize to them that nobody owes you a job. It's even possible that you die without getting a job. Your job is to find a way to convince somebody that if you bring me in, I'm going to make you more money than you are spending on me. My input is this and this, and this is what I'll do for you. This is how I'll make your work easier, even going beyond the job description, trying to convince the employer that I am definitely the right candidate. So this is what we do on the page to try and help people stand out when they are looking for a job.
So you and I need to connect. I also own a career consulting company where Zambian job seekers how to prepare for interviews and just how to showcase themselves. So you and I need to connect.
So if you want to visit his page, go to Dream Job.
Dream Job. CV designers.
DJ CVD.
Dream Job.
Why don't you post it? Okay, I see.
Dream Job.
CV designers.
DJ.
I
just wanted to comment and say, you see the statement you made to say, I am able to make a contribution which will make you more money that I'm costing you.
There you
see, as a Pentecostal preacher, I say that's a revelation right there.
Anyway, about your page. What kind of company do you run?
For me, it's an online consultancy company.
Go ahead.
Yes, so I was saying I own an online business. It's got no physical location. There, I train people how to prepare for work. So since we're talking about unemployment, right? There's a book which I've written, which I give out for free. It's called Get Hired Today.
Wow.
It's I'll be able to share it. It contains everything you need to know about job hunting, starting from the creation of your CV, your cover letter, how to apply with the email, how to stay strong when you're not getting any feedback from the employers, how to take rejections. Interview preparation, and also how to be more valuable as an employee. Because most people, when you tell them what they might be missing, they're like, oh, yeah. They don't know how they can be of value to the employer. So there's that book. That one is free. I give it to anyone who wants it on the page and to my WhatsApp.
Okay.
To have that book and we can possibly share it and discuss one of these funding for a lot of the youth, what they will tell you, finance money.
What is the biggest challenge you think the youth in Zambia face? In this area of unemployment.
I know we've talked about lack of funding, funding is obviously on top.
But other than funding, we forgot about funding. What is the biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge is the same funding mentality that most people say. They say we don't have capital.
Mm-hmm.
For me, if anybody follows me on my page,
mm-hmm.
you'll see that I always say and that you don't need money to make money.
Oh, wow.
You can use money. Money enhances, but you don't need money to make money. This business that I do, I didn't have any money when I started it. You just have to acquire skills and
understand how
to exchange value. You see, when I like giving this example to people is when you go to your fridge, right, and you want to prepare a meal, you prepare a meal from what's in your fridge. So if money is not in your fridge, then you have to do something that doesn't require money. So that means you have to deliver a skill set. You have to... Sorry, can you still get me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. You have to deliver a skill to someone. You have to, in short, work for somebody or work with somebody, delivering a skill to them. So for money, most people, they give up on business or empowering themselves because they feel that they need money. But there's a lot of things you can do without money. The whole employment industry, people who don't have money looking for jobs. An employee doesn't have money when they reach out to the employer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing. Is once you get it out of your head that you need money, a lot of it, to start a business, you see opportunities that are there. You can do online stuff for people like I'm doing, making CVs, cover letters. You can perform affiliate marketing. You can wash somebody's car. There's so many things there's so much you can do that doesn't require a lot of capital input.
What about the youth,
Chico?
How
aggressive
are they?
Are they?
You think?
If they see an opportunity, like I've given an example, the oven I want to make,
and they cannot do it,
do they go sit in the corner and forget about it, or they can step up?
Ask someone who can do it.
How aggressive are our youth in Zambia? I feel like the aggression could be there. But it's just the problem lies where you think you need money to do something, or you don't have the expertise, or you're looking for an easy way out. That's one of the challenges that people find. You want to find the fast money-making scheme.
Exactly.
You want to pay. You want to get your way to success. All those things, they affect you.
They affect you
when you think you need money. You're looking for. You don't want to do the hard work or work for your money gradually. That's what I feel affects. But being aggressive, they do want to do something, but maybe just in a take an easier path or waiting for things that are not there, opportunities that are not there, like funding. That's what I feel slows down most youth.
You are talking about, I like the other question here, how I think even you adults sometimes when we talk about wealth, or some of the youth have to go to, they are sold the image of wealth. Rather than talk to us about that kind of thinking, where we see riches first before wealth.
Okay, it's It's the thing is, you have to start. One thing that I've also learned through business is you have to start demystifying things. You have to start having an independent mindset. You have to start really thinking about things. Are people really rich? Are these things with borrowed money? Is it, what do I know about the same person who has the money? Mm-hmm. You have to start appreciating also hard work and also growing gradually. You understand that, okay, this is the path that I've taken, and also understanding that things to do with business do take time.
Right, right.
When you start your business, it's going to take you about 3 to 4 years before you can actually start saying, yes, even more than, you know, even 7 years for you to actually see real success. So because you haven't built that willpower to endure the whole journey, you start thinking as if what you're doing, you compare how much you're making compared to someone who looks rich in your eyes, you give up and you think you're on the wrong path. So also understanding that business is not easy. As you fail, you're learning, becoming better, becoming more popular. So many elements to it.
I like that.
If you consider
that Chico creating some kind of a training center where, other than just, what you post on your page is marvelous.
If you consider putting some of your followers into some kind of incubator, three months, six months, where they can learn stuff you talk about.
Yes, I have considered performing some training programs.
Yeah.
But for me, I usually like to keep things virtual. So when I'm thinking of the next business or whatever, I'm thinking virtually, like I create a course which people can buy and learn from their comfort. So for me, mostly all my business model is to be just everywhere, in the air, online.
Yeah.
I got nothing physical, no physical location.
Talk to us about the help the youth can get from the problems you see. Whether it be from the government, from the private sector, from Zambia, some of us, Zambia, some of us, what are some of the areas you think we could be of help, all those sectors, whether it be government, the private sector back home. I'll give you an example we are talking about. One of the things I've considered, Chico, I've thought about is why don't we start pushing the fourth year student at the University of Zambia to go and work for free in some of these companies, even if it's mini shipping, let them go and Zambia Bruin, let them go and trip so that they start to connect work and their education.
But I'll come back to my question.
You interact with the youth, you are a youth yourself.
How do you think if government were to help the youth step up, the youth to do well?
What could government do?
One.
Second, what could the private sector do? Two.
The diaspora.
I know you hate diaspora, I was very surprised. We are very critical, a team, group, the Zambians, the Africans, in that we care for home like you never know.
How can all these people step up on your own way to help their employees in Zambia?
Okay, so I feel if we're talking about the government, they should open up platforms that enable youth to do other things other than the generic agriculture activities that we have. One thing I've been saying is why don't we reinforce, like, you people in the diaspora?
Yeah, yeah.
You've got very strong copyright laws there, if I'm not mistaken,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
help artists become very rich there, because I hear when you are copying music or downloading music illegally without paying for it, it's a chargeable offense, is it not?
It is, but people
will still do it.
Yes, you still do it, but you can get arrested.
Oh, you can be arrested.
So if the government can, I know we already have copyright laws here. If we open up the entertainment industry, because sometimes your passion could be to something that's not appreciated by society. Let's say you make music, but nobody's listening to it. So if they can open up other platforms, they'll open up employment for the youth. Let's say animation, we're not into...
We are not up there,
and I have this strong belief that if we can push animation, cartoons, like, do you know Zakado from Zambia?
No, Zakado.
Who knows Zakado?
I know him.
Oh, you see? Yes. Okay.
If you see the response they get, it's overwhelming. They've got a lot of people following them, and when you have a lot of people following you, you open up your platform to advertising dollars. Companies will advertise with you, and as you're doing it, as your organization is growing, you are able to employ more people, and there's a lot of things involved in animation. There's the artists themselves, the people shooting the videos, the people handling the backgrounds. You know the credit list after you watch a movie, all those people in the credit list. Those are all employees of a movie project or something. I feel if we can open up other industries, especially in the entertainment business, digital, something to do with animation, that doesn't cost a lot of money, just effort. So I feel like people from the diaspora, you guys know what cartoonists or animation people do that side. To bring that technology here or find a way to educate the youth, but it's just about effort.
I just wanted to say, Chico, great stuff. I think let's talk more about this, Roger, and bring him back. I mean, I like the revelations he's bringing out.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Insight, okay. The revelation is a Pentecostal thing, you know.
That's where you know he's the man of God.
Chico, go ahead.
We are on mute. We can't hear you.
We can't hear you.
Okay. Hey, Chico, on that animation,
Can I suggest, and I'll get you offline, can we do something with that Zagado where we are showing people either how to grow, we turn it into how to, what if somebody is farming to find a market, but do it in a cartoon format where it's generating something, somebody is selling something, make funny about it, but it's really educating and selling and finding something. Can we do that through you? You already have that dream line.
I'll share your number. I'll give him your number, and then people can get in touch with you.
And then we get up.
Okay.
Lama, are you back with your phone? Can we hear you?
Okay,
Chico.
We are on top of the hour.
Thank you for the discussion.
We will take up things online.
Bella here said you would like to work with you.
I told you.
Come on, our radio, there is a lot of potential help here in the diaspora. Especially now that our quacha is ready, it makes much easier for us to do work with you guys.
Thank you, Chico. And to the team, thank you so much.
You have a good weekend.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
All right. Thank you.
That was Chico on the Block Radio.
Looking at the youth unemployment, but Chico says employment is there. So visit Dream Job TV Designer, see what it talks about, and maybe you can pick up one or two ideas on his Facebook page.
There are some people who have joined who are here. iPhone.
Who is this? Is this Viama? Yeah, iPhone.
Okay.
Nathan?
Where are you?
Come back and say last week.
I'm here. We have a big show coming up next week, Roger.
Yes.
We have a big show coming up next weekend. You are the one who are Africa Continental Free Trade Area.
Africa is now opening up. So what you say is not just going to be confined to Zambia. Africa is opening up. Our friends in Kenya, the Ghanaians, South Africa,
they've been very, very aggressive.
Yes, Google it, Africa.
You saw it when I called you, even on my WhatsApp. We have the CEO for Namibia Trade Center, I believe that's the name.
Namibia Trade, and then AU
ambassador to Zambia's AU ambassador, right? Bamwamba, is that right? Yeah, Zambia. And then the following weekend, we are going to do the Secretary General of COMESA in Zambia. Yeah. That's our series the next 2 weeks. We want to incorporate what Chico has unbundled here and connect it to what is happening in Africa. Okay, big stuff. So people need to change their mindset. So, Chico, we are no longer looking at Zambia's population. Is it 15 or 16? Zambia's population is now 1.2 billion. That's your market,
Chico.
That's your market. I think if you have to take anything from us today, tell your friends that's looking at the 1.2 billion Africans. The population of Africa is $1.2 billion.
$1.2 billion. You're already a billionaire.
So join us next weekend, everybody.
So thank you so much. And we will definitely meet next week. Bayama, sorry, your phone couldn't do us justice, but next week you are presenting something.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay.
na 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 na